and those that were the musicians and those that were the singers, and Brother Daniel leading it all. Would you join me in giving him one more hand for today? And thank the Lord for what He has allowed us to experience. As I mentioned beginning, sometimes people will think, well, who should you be loyal to? Well, there's no question. You're loyal to Christ. We are Christians. If you're saved, then your loyalty is to the Lord. But the Lord does put you in a spot to live. And the Bible is very clear that you give honor to those people in authority. You give honor to those that are having the rule over you. And so we also thank God for our nation that He's given us. So I want you to look, if you would, and I want to preach toward that nation that God has given us. And I want you to look, if you would, at Psalm 33, verse number 10. Psalm 33, verse number 10. We'll read three verses there and then get right into the message. As you find your place in Psalm 33, I did hear this story about this husband that he was very, very rich, very wealthy, but very controlling as well. And he made his future widow sign a document that would promise that she would bury all of his money with him. And she was a little afraid to do that, but she also thought, I like my life the way it is, and so I want to. And so she did. She signed it that would leave all the money and would leave her with nothing to live on. At the funeral, he died unexpectedly. And so her best friend knew of the contract that she had signed, and she noticed that the new widow, was grinning a lot and seemed to be not really distraught, not only because of the loss of her husband, but then thinking about the money, but she just kept grinning. And her friend asked, didn't you agree to bury your money with him? And she said, yes, I did. And then she said, why are you grinning? And she said, I put it in the form of a check. What's he going to do with it? So, ladies, get the upper hand again. Psalm 33, verse 10, the Bible says, for the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Could I just give you these first couple of thoughts? First of all, in verse number 10, the certain fall of the ungodly. There are people who are convinced that their way is the right way, that they are opposed to Scripture, they're opposed to morality, they're opposed to what Scripture tells us we're supposed to live by, but they're convinced that they're right. But the Bible says in verse number 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught or to nothing. So we see the certain fall of the ungodly. So when you see somebody and they seem to be getting everything right and their life seems to be in such good order, but they're not living a moral life, they're not living a godly life, they're not living a life that honors Christ, and you say, how can this be? I can tell you, my friend, you're just not looking far enough, because the Bible gives the certain fall of the ungodly. But then you see also in verse number 11, the permanence of God's ways. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. And so not only the certain fall of the ungodly, but the permanence of God's ways. We see that his ways will always turn out right. It may not look so great for the way you're living right now, but if you're living according to Scripture, you, my friend, are on the right path. And then I give you the last one in verse number 12. The offer given to stand with the Lord. Now, this verse is to the nation of Israel, and we understand that, but we can certainly take application to say that we could choose that for ourselves as well. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I would tell you this morning that the individual that wants to say, regardless of what everybody else does, the nation whose God is the Lord, but so is the person. Blessed is that person whose God is the Lord. I've staked my claim. I'm living for Christ. I'm putting my trust in Him, not only the individual, but the family. You can look at your family and say, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord regardless of what's gone on out in the world, the family, but also the church. Do you understand there's many churches today that will be held and they'll meet, but they will not proclaim what is in this word. You say, well, what all's in that book? We don't have time for all of this morning. That's true. But the most important message is that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. And that is the message of God, that we are supposed to love him, and the love that we are supposed to have is for the salvation path, Jesus Christ, that he gave. So our church can say whatever others do, we want to stand for and stand with the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then we also say that that country, this contrast from verse number 10 talks about the following the heathen will be brought to nothing, but those that stand for the Lord, blessed is that nation. There was never a time in the Old Testament when all the people of Israel followed God wholly, completely. But they were God's people and they were following him. Like that today, there's never been a time in this nation when everybody was a believer in Jesus Christ. But we have had the birth of our nation and the foundation of it built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that when our Declaration of Independence was written, and it was written that they are endowed by their Creator with such a certain unalienable rights. We understand that the God that they talked about, and it goes on from there. They talk about the Creator or the providence of Him. We understand that our heritage, if you want to take a note, our heritage is that we stand upon the God of the Bible. After fleeing from England, the Pilgrims, as they came to America after going to Holland, they were seeking religious liberty. 102 of them getting off the ships there came, and that Mayflower Compact that they signed said this: in the name of God, amen, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Not many years after that, in 1630, the colonists in the New England Federation, another group of them coming, signed this compact, and it said, we all have come into these parts of America with one and the same end, namely, to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when somebody comes and they says, we're not that a Christian nation, I understand that there's so much that goes on in our nation, but I would say that the foundations in our heritage has been that we stand upon Christ. Not only our heritage, but our documents. Our documents, as I mentioned already, the Declaration of Independence, but the document that was so much of our founding drawn from was the Bible that you hold in your lap. George Washington is quoted to say, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Thomas Jefferson, being one of the least religious of the founding fathers, I've always said and always will say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make us better citizens. So that one nation has always been, or at least until recently, been a nation proud to stand on the truths of the Word of God. You say, how do you know it stands on the truth of the Word of God? Well, all you have to do is go around Washington, D.C., and see the scriptures that are etched in marble and granite and these different monuments in the Washington Monument at the Library of Congress. When you go to the Supreme Court and you see the figures of Moses there, the great lawgiver, all of this, our heritage, but number two, our documents. I mentioned already the Declaration of Independence speaks that we're endowed by their Creator, giving honor to God. The laws of nature and of nature's God, it says. Appealing to the supreme judge of the world, the Declaration says, and talks of the protection of the divine providence. At this presentation of Jefferson's masterpiece, John Hancock was the one to sign it, the largest. And because there was a price on his arrest, he said, the British ministry can read that name without spectacles. Let them double the reward. Because they were glad to sign the document that, yes, declared freedom, but in the words of that document, reminded whoever the readers were that they were acknowledging that God was the one that was the giver of those freedoms. And so now you can see why I don't think we need to distinguish between, are you going to honor God or are you going to honor America? In our foundings, we were doing both. You say, well, what if it wasn't the God of the Bible? You look around again back to D.C. and you see the references with the verses, but then the references to the Bible from which they came. And so when you see God in those founding documents, rest assured because of proof of other writings. It's the God that's found in the pages of the Bible. Our heritage, our documents, as they signed the declaration, it's later said, recorded that Ben Franklin said, yes, in regards to that whole ordeal, yes, we must all hang together, or most assuredly, we will all hang separately. I just want to give us just a word before we leave this morning, not only about our heritage, that fleeing persecution to a place where they could worship Christ freely. And then not only our heritage, but our documents. We stand upon the Word of God. There's so many of our founding documents that you can see right from the pages of Scripture, because as Christ has come to save the world, both the rich and the poor and all of the in between, and we understand that we are valuable because of what Jesus Christ did for us, and that same sentiment is brought into the Declaration of Independence and brought into the other writings, our documents. But then as we proclaim God, we see also, thirdly, our resources. We've been called the breadbasket of the world because of all of the variety that's here, all of the things that we have produced. My dad worked in chemical plants and then and steel mills up and down the Ohio Valley. I think about them, and I think about the oil fields of Texas, and I think the forest of the West that provided all the lumber for the building that had gone on in this great nation. We sang just a little while ago about those beautiful for spacious skies. That 33-year-old lady, Catherine Bates, that was on a trip for teaching purposes from Massachusetts to Colorado on a train across this great nation. She was so inspired by the sights that she saw as she went across this nation that she wrote a poem, which later became a song. From her train in 1893, she saw America's heartland, Kansas, with the fruited plains that she wrote about. She saw from Pike's Peak as a group and her went up there to see, they could see the purple mountains' majesty as they had that purple hue to them. But before she got on that train, she had went to the World's Fair in Chicago. And as she came to that World's Fair, there was a display, an alabaster city built for that display that year. And she spoke about the alabaster cities and representative of all of the nation that she was so blessed to see. And I agree with her that, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, America is a beautiful place. But still, we come back to what the Scripture says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I'd like to spend the last couple moments. There's a lot of pretty nations in this world. We don't have a corner on the market of being a beautiful place. We are. But there's other beautiful places. But the blessed nation is that one that says, God, our God, is the God. If any nation stands without excuse, it's the one that you're sitting in today. To whom much is given, much is required. It was mentioned in the recitation that Amy gave in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You realize that a person who grew up all their life in America, and many people were born and raised here, some were born somewhere else, and they've come here and become a citizen. Others are here with us today. They're not citizens. They're here for educational purposes or whatever, regardless. But you understand that we could come to this great nation or be born in this great nation, live our whole life and not receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and still, as free as you were in this nation, spend an eternity in a Christless hell. What a terrible tragedy that would be. But as Scripture says in John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The most beautiful place that I think about is 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the most beautiful place that gives the gospel in such small form is in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, the death. And that he was buried, the burial, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I have given my life to be a gospel preacher. And those couple verses talk about the gospel. And this morning, the beautiful thing about our nation. I love it. I got to see, watch fireworks at a good family of a church. I did a wonderful job and I got to enjoy that yesterday. I got to have lots of fun and all of the things. And I love the freedom. But my friend, I want everybody to experience what the scripture says. When the Son therefore shall make you free, free from your chains, free from your sin, free from your destination in a horrible place called hell. And when the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I would hate to think that somebody would live for a short time or their whole life in America with all the freedoms we have and never come to a place in their life where they receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and be free from the wages of sin. This morning, I would love for you to do a little soul searching and find out and make sure that you have been made free by the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I pray that you would give clarity in this invitation time. I pray that you would give direction to those that need to be saved. And Lord, I pray that those that are saved, that they would commit to spend the rest of their lives, our lives, sharing that message, how other people can be free, free from sin, free from the wages of sin. Bless it to be so, I pray, dear Lord. As the ladies find something to play, and if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand together. It makes it just a tad easier for folks to slip out. If you're here today, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, you need freedom in Christ, salvation from your sins. Would you step out and come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be sure your sins are forgiven? You're on your way to heaven. Would you come? Maybe you're here and you're saved, but there's something in your life you just need to get right with God about. My friend, this is the time. This is the time. Life is short. And I would hate to think that I'd spent the last few days, weeks, or years of my life being mad, upset, ugly towards somebody. Maybe there's something in your life you need to get right. Would you do it this morning? Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved and you know the Lord, but you've never been baptized. You ought to take that step of obedience. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You already know the Lord's been working on you and you just want to go ahead and present yourself for membership. As this verse plays, you come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I hope and pray that you've had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I do invite you back tonight, 6:30. You can just dress casual. It's going to be, if Lord willing, we'll be outside and it'll be hot and sweaty and wear something. You don't mind getting a little dirty and sweaty, but have a good time together with us tonight. But as we go out also, may we be praying one for another. Thanking God for this nation, but then not taking that freedom for granted either. Utilizing it, and thank God for it. Brother Daniel, why don't you come and pray for us as we dismiss. Amy and I will be out in the lobby. Ladies, I challenge you to sign up for that ladies' event coming up on the 14th. It'll be a great time. And if you have any questions that Amy and I can help you with, we'll be out there. Thank you again, Brother Daniel, for the work with the choir and all of those with the choir, the special music, the instrumentalists, all of it. What a wonderful, wonderful program this morning. We've been blessed by it. Thank you for that. He's going to pray and dismiss us.
You've given to us. We thank you for the country you've placed us in. Lord, there's so much that could be said, and we just thank you that we are able to be here this morning. I pray you'd bless the day as we go. Help us have a great afternoon, and then as we gather together for our picnic outside, hopefully, Lord, this evening, we'll just pray we'd have a great time together as a church family, fellowshipping, getting to spend time together and celebrating what you've blessed us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.